nice to be with you this morning. Thank you for your introduction, Steve. Just recently, I was asked to speak at a national conference of evangelists, people who preach the gospel day and night on the streets. And I went to this conference and I started my presentation by asking all the assembled evangelists there to complete this sentence. The gospel is dot, dot, dot. Now, the interesting thing is, when I asked them what the gospel was, all these evangelists came up with all these brilliant definitions. Many of them were biblical definitions. But the thing that intrigued me most is that not a single evangelist, not one, answered the question the way Jesus would have. What is the gospel? Well, according to Jesus, the gospel is the kingdom of God. Matthew says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Luke says, Jesus said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God because that is why I was sent. Mark says, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Matthew, Mark, and Luke never record Jesus saying anything about being born again. Only John records Jesus saying something about being born again twice on a single occasion. But all the gospel writers record Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God over 100 times. For Jesus, the gospel is about the kingdom of God. According to Jesus, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven on earth. The prayer Jesus prayed to introduce his passion to his disciples was a prayer for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. This was the passion of Jesus. This was the grand obsession of Jesus, that God's name would be glorified. May your name be hallowed or made holy by your kingdom coming on earth and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. This was the passion of Jesus. And the sad thing is that so many churches have forgotten the core message of Jesus. We talk about being born again, which is important. Is that biblical? Yes. But we've forgotten what we're born again for. We're born again to embody the kingdom of heaven on earth. For Jesus' prayer to come true in us. For God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven through us. So that we as God's people can incarnate the kingdom of heaven on earth. I would like to suggest to you that it's in the Beatitudes that Jesus initiates his disciples into the Beatitudes that can help us incarnate the kingdom of heaven on earth. The Beatitudes start with the affirmation, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the Beatitudes finish with the affirmation, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes begin and the Beatitudes end with the affirmation that those who practice these Beatitudes will possess the kingdom of heaven and be possessed by the kingdom of heaven and manifest the glory of the kingdom of heaven on earth through their lives. Well, what are the Beatitudes advocated in the Beatitudes that can help us incarnate the kingdom of heaven on earth? Well, the first Beatitude is blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I'd like to suggest there are two ways that we can interpret this Beatitude. The first way is that it's talking about those who are poor in terms of spirit. This is the traditional way of interpreting this. This is why it was interpreted this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in terms of their spirit, who feel inadequate, who feel incapable, who feel anxious about the state of their soul, and they cry out to God for help, for God to empower them through the power of the Spirit. That's the traditional interpretation of that passage. And is it true? Well, it may be true. However, I'd like to suggest to you that the first Beatitude is not talking about those who are poor in terms of spirit so much as those who identify with the poor in spirit. It's not talking about those of us who feel inadequate or incapable, but about those who are so filled with the Spirit like Christ that, like Christ, we identify with the poor in spirit like he did. Jesus said in Luke, the Spirit is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He identified with the poor, and in the spirit he was with the poor and identified with the poor in spirit. And I'd like to suggest to you that both these interpretations can be true simultaneously. We may like to start with the first one as we identify our own inadequacy, but we need to be moved beyond the first interpretation to the second one, to identify with those who are poor in the spirit of passion and compassion of Christ. So I'd like to suggest to you that the first Beatitude is, blessed are the poor and those who identify with the poor in spirit, who are not obsessed with wealth and status and success, don't focus their lives on the rich and famous, but identify with the poor in the spirit of Jesus. The second Beatitude is, blessed are those that mourn. When we identify with the poor in the spirit, we will enter empathically into their struggle, into their suffering, and we will weep with those that weep. We will grieve over the injustice in the world. The third Beatitude is, blessed are the meek. When we experience the injustice that there is in the world, many of us will get angry. But most of us don't know how to do anger well, and we become aggressive. Jesus said the third Beatitude is about meekness, about being angry but not being aggressive, practicing self-control and self-constraint. The word meek was the word used to describe a stallion that had been trained. All this visceral energy that was now under control, that could be unleashed in a charge. The first Beatitude is saying, blessed are those that identify with the poor in spirit. The second Beatitude is saying, blessed are those who enter in empathically into their pain and mourn with those that mourn about the injustice in their lives. The third beatitude saying, and blessed are those who get angry about the injustice that there is in their lives, but who never get aggressive, who channel their rage creatively and constructively. The fourth beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We live in a capitalist society where we're encouraged to hunger and thirst for all kinds of things. But Jesus is saying, in my kingdom, the core yearning and longing and desire is for justice. The word righteousness here can best be described not as personal piety, but as social justice. He's saying, blessed are those who identify with the poor in spirit, who enter into their pain empathically, who get angry about the injustice in their lives, and then are desperate to seek to do justice. The fifth beatitude is, blessed are the merciful. I think it's quite significant that after the call to do justice, Jesus gives a call to do mercy. Because often the people who seek justice are merciless. That's not the kind of justice Jesus is talking about. The justice Jesus is talking about is the kind of justice that seeks to extend the same mercy to others as we would desire for ourselves. Huh? We don't just visit justice on others in terms of vengeance, but we seek to do people justice, which means we seek to extend the same mercy to them as we would want ourselves in the same circumstance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the first beatitude is to identify with the poor in spirit, in our spirit, in the spirit. To enter into their pain empathically and weep with those that weep. To get angry about the injustice in their lives and to seek to do justice, but always, only in a way that's merciful, that's gentle, that's gracious. The sixth beatitude is, blessed are the pure in heart. I think at the core, at the centre of any cause, of any campaign, the challenge is to integrity. It's not about the publicity. It's not even about the credibility. It's essentially about integrity, purity of heart. We're called to engage in the world around about us with integrity, with sincerity. The seventh beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers. There are so many people in the world who claim to be sons and daughters of God who invoke the name of God to destroy those that they don't agree with. George Bush said, God told me to strike Iraq and I struck. How'd you feel about that if you were a Christian living in Baghdad? Pretty scary stuff. Jesus says, only those who work for peace in the midst of the world, in the midst of war, have a rightful claim to be called sons and daughters of God. We need to be people who practice justice with mercy, who do that with integrity, and therefore always work for peace in the midst of conflict. The eighth beatitude is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. It doesn't just say, blessed are those who are persecuted. There's no virtue in being persecuted for stupidity. Right? Just because you're persecuted doesn't mean you're blessed. You're blessed if you're persecuted for the sake of justice. Because you are seeking to do the right thing. Because in the midst of war, you choose to suffer violence rather than inflict violence. And you do so passionately, patiently, with perseverance. Do you get the picture? This is a picture of the kind of person that God wants us to be, the kind of people that God wants us to be. Imagine what the world could be like if we practiced these beatitudes. We would focus on the poor, not on wealth. We grieve over injustice in the world. We get angry but not get aggressive. We seek for justice, not vengeance. We'd extend compassion to all in need. We'd be wholehearted in doing right. We'd work for peace in a world at war, and we would suffer for justice with patience. We'd be more like Gladys Staines than George Bush. Right? We'd forgive our enemies rather than bomb them into oblivion. We'd extend grace. We'd transform our relationships. Instead of trying to destroy the enemy, we would seek to destroy the enmity and seek to make peace and work for change in the world. If we practice the Beatitudes, I believe we could be the change we want to see in the world. I believe that God has created us in His image, and therefore God has written His law in our hearts. And whenever we reflect deeply on who we want to be, I believe we want to be the change we want to see in the world. And it's in the Beatitudes that Jesus tells us how we can be the change we want to see as we open ourselves to His Spirit. Plan B is a campaign to encourage churches to read the Beatitudes each week. The creeds are great, but there's no ethical content in the creed. But the Beatitudes immerse us in the ethos of Jesus. We want to encourage all Christians to learn the Beatitudes by heart so we can be shaped by the Spirit of the Beatitudes and then begin to embody the Beatitudes and the Spirit of the Beatitudes in our lives. We want to encourage all people of goodwill to gather together in B groups to practice the Beatitudes. I believe we need to reconstruct church as like an AA movement for people who are addicted to the dominant values of society. And we need to get together and say, we're addicted to power and wealth and success and status and violence like everybody else. But we need to get together in B groups and recite the Beatitudes off by heart. And in those B groups, encourage one another to select a Beatitude and practice a Beatitude. My father was a great preacher. He loved preaching. One day he came to me and said, Dave, what do you think I should preach on next? I said, the best thing you could do, Dad, is to stop preaching. People know enough. Churches like this, people know the Scriptures really well. The challenge isn't for us to know the Scriptures better. The challenge of us is to live the Scriptures better. What if we form B groups of people who just recite the Beatitudes, and each person in the group just selected one Beatitude to practice for the rest of the year, and everybody prayed for them and supported them and encouraged them in showing mercy to others, in seeking to do justice. It is religious to quote the Bible. It is revolutionary to practice it. This is the call upon our lives, to be the change we want to see in the world. Christians hate, people hate Christians just preaching at them, trying to convert them. The challenge for us is to become Christ-like and to be the change we want to see in the world so that we can enter into conversations with our neighbour on what the gospel is all about. As we have begun this campaign, the response has been terrific. I've been able to write articles about the Beatitudes in Serving Together, which you've got today. You've got a copy of that. Over the last year, you notice that there are articles on the Beatitudes. Journey Magazine is writing an article on the Beatitudes every month for the next 12 months. I've been invited to Switzerland to go to the Swiss Alps to actually relaunch the Sermon on the Mount in the Swiss Alps. How good is that? Tomorrow night, I've been invited to go to the Skeptic Society. We're meeting in the Red Brick Hotel in Woolloongabba, and they want me to talk about the Beatitudes as a creative ethical framework for a global personal political revolution. How amazing is that? I believe This is an idea whose time has come. We need to reclaim our inheritance in the gospel. We need to practice the gospel. We need to be people who embody the gospel. And the Beatitudes are a simple framework for helping us do that. So get a copy of Plan B. Sign the Plan B pledge. Start your own B group. Check out the Plan B resources that are available from the WeCan.B website. What I'm going to invite you to do as we close is for you to just look again at the Beatitudes and to listen to the a cappella group, Sweet Honey in the Rock, just sing about the Beatitudes. So let's just stay with the Beatitudes just for a little while, and then I'm going to finish by inviting you to say the Plan B prayer.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are they
who are hungry and thirsty, they shall be filled.
Blessed are
the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are they
who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are ye
when they shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Singing in the Spirit. In conclusion, I'd like to share with you the Serenity Prayer for Plan B. Many of you who know people in AA or Al-Anon will know the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a great prayer. We've got our own version of the Planet Serenity Prayer for B groups. It goes something like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. So I'd invite you, if you can feel you can pray this prayer with integrity, to a certain degree, or other, as much as you can, to pray this prayer with me as a way of concluding. And then afterwards, I'd be happy to talk to you about the resources on the way out. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me.